tomorrow whenever you're free. I know it's crazy, so I'm not gonna push anything on you, but yeah, okay. So how are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. It's
Yeah.
nice, right? It's a transition period, adaptability period, so it's all of the above.
Yeah. When did you all start the semester? All of this happening all at one time?
We started on January 11th. But this is my second semester as like a graduate student, so it's been interesting. But I went to U of L for my undergraduate, so I'm thankful for that. It
Oh, nice.
was nice.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so I have a couple of questions. I'm so sorry if any of them are boring or anything like that. But I have a couple of questions and just answer. If there's some that you don't want to answer, it's completely up to you. I'm not going to push anything on you. And then this will go to the oral history like archive. So you'll always have that little piece with you. And they'll send you more information about it once it's all transcribed and whatnot.
Sounds
Okay,
good. Okay.
great. So when you worked at the University of Louisville, when did you work and what was your position?
So, I worked there when I was a PhD student. And I was a PhD student at U of L from 2012 to 2016. And it was my second and third year there that I worked as an assistant director. In the writing center. So I did work as a consultant and with some administrative duties.
So, as an administrator or as having those administrative duties, what were your responsibilities?
So one of the I think most important responsibilities was being a resource and being supportive for the master student consultants who many of them like were in their first year of the master's degree program and some new to tutoring or and doing writing center consultations. So being a support for them was really important. And we also worked in the summers for the dissertation writing retreat. Like we would support the writers who were part of that also. I could go more in depth about
You're more
those.
than welcome to if you want to. It's up to you.
Yeah, sometimes too. So I guess, okay, here's a question about the project.
Yeah.
Is it like the interview in its entirety, like will be posted or like excerpted?
So that is definitely a question. It's what I transcribe as well. If there are tidbits that you don't kind of want to put out there, I can totally take those out before I even submit it to Cassie, who's in charge of this whole thing in the writing center, and then she'll give it to the archive people.
Oh, okay. I just wonder because I might ask clarification questions that are
No,
relevant.
you're okay. No, you are totally okay. So when you work there as an assistant director, were you the only one with that responsibility? How did that go about?
So there were, when I worked there, another PhD student was also an assistant director. So there were two different ones, like in the 2 years that I worked there, because one graduated and then another started. Oh, actually, we also had a graduate student who worked doing some online consulting, right? So we had that position also for, I'm not sure actually if that was an assistant director position or not, or maybe assistant director of online consulting. It's been so long, I'm not sure.
No, you're okay. And at that time, since you guys were like second or tier, right? And then there were the tutors, the graduate students. Were they called tutors and who were they?
So when I worked there, they were called consultants.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure some people use the term tutor. But I remember it was familiar to me when I started doing writing center work when I was a master's student before coming to U of L. Consultants was the term. And if I'm remembering right, it was 7 or 8 master's students. It was their first year. In the first year, they work in the writing center. In their second year, they begin teaching, if I'm remembering right now. So we're always working with first year master's students.
So that's kind of still how it is right now. So this is, you know, my first year, and the next year, hopefully, COVID's gone, but we can actually physically teach. But when those master students, when they came in that first semester, how were they trained?
One of the major supports was the class that Bronwyn taught on writing center theory and practice. I had limited involvement with that class. I know it was common for the assistant directors to attend the class. And it so happened that I had graduate courses that overlapped with the exact time, I think more than one semester, that I wanted to be involved in the class. And Bronwyn gave me the go ahead to, you know, to take those classes. And so that was one of the important ways that they were trained. And other methods involved, even just having those side conversations during the day when I was present in the writing center. Sometimes they came to our office, the assistant directors, to talk to us about something that happened in a consultation, or an ongoing pattern in something happening in the consultations, like perhaps uncertainty about helping people with sentence level correctness or something. And so we'd have those one-on-one and sometimes group conversations, which I think it made one thing that made those conversations kind of ongoing and happening all the time is that we were all grad students. We're in the same boat, but just kind of like at different stages, right, of these degree programs.
Do you feel like being in the writing center and then experiencing, let's say, a master's student or a consultant is experiencing an issue, do you feel like it was like a better way to go about it and for everyone to learn was like having those physical interactions and discussions about that and kind of learning from that experience? Do you feel like that was like an optimal thing to have?
Oh, so the interaction between the consultants and the assistant directors?
Yeah, through like the experiences of, let's say I had a problem and I say, hey, Jessica, this is what happened. Do you feel like those were great opportunities for everyone to kind of learn? Because a lot of it is that theory class. So a lot of it is just like reading things and then kind of learning from experiences, I felt like was so much more helpful. Do you feel that way as well? Or
I really do. I'd have to think about it from the perspective of the master students, mm-hmm. And wondering if it was helpful, but I know from prior experience that having this kind of community of practice is helpful for everyone. And even for me, now I direct a writing center and am in the position of currently training and educating undergraduate tutors. And it was helpful for me during my PhD to be in the position of trying to mentor new consultants. And I think it was beneficial.
So during your time at the Writing Center, what was like the structure of the Writing Center, the space, the day-to-day kind of thing?
So when I worked there in 2013 and 2014, we were in one of the upper floors of the library.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a new space now.
Yes, it's on the first floor now, yeah.
Yeah, a great location. We were in that other space when I worked there. And the overall structure, we had an administrative assistant at the front desk who would either schedule appointments or and check people in. And is that what you meant? Do you mean physical structure?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Just like the day-to-day kind of thing.
Yeah, so the physical, as far as the physical structure, yes. So our clients would encounter, at the time, Robin, like, was at the front desk. And, yeah, she would greet people, check people in, or schedule appointments, and call us, like, when the appointment, or when our client had arrived, right? And she would arrange for, you know, if we had a drop-in or something, you know, that we weren't expecting. And we had a pretty big space. I say, and maybe like some very large writing centers, by comparison, might not think of it as a very large space, but currently I'm in, my writing center is in something kind of like a closet, a large closet. So I remember the space at U of L, the writing center being large, and the graduate student consultants had, there was kind of like a room toward the back, right, where they could talk, do their work while they're, you know, waiting on appointments. Yeah.
Yeah, the space has really changed. it's like, you know, as soon as you walk in, there's this open space that we have currently not used because of COVID. We don't do face-to-face appointments. So that's kind of, we're missing that element. But they have side rooms with computers in them, and we do everything live chats or written feedback. And then we have like the two offices for Bronwyn and Cassie, and then a beautiful space in the back for us. And then for the PhD assistant directors. So it's really nice the way the space is. However, we've all not been there at the same time other than class. So it does feel like an empty space, and it feels kind of draining as soon as you get in there because of that. But I'm assuming when you went, there was more physical interactions and there was face-to-face appointments. What types of students did you have coming to the writing center when you work there?
Yeah, there was a lot more face-to-face interaction that is sort of like a signature piece of writing center work, you know, is being close to people. If I'm remembering right, like we had like the round desks so we could sit right next to someone. We still could sit right next to someone at a rectangular shaped desk also. But that part of it was nice, you're right. So the students or clients we would work with, I seem to remember like a fair distribution between undergraduate students and grad students. I worked with a lot of grad students who were finishing like a thesis or dissertation. I remember that. We were kind of like in the final stages. I worked a lot with a lot of students in the sciences. And I remember just that feeling of, you know, a lack of familiarity with content knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of stands out to me. And I think that's something that made the U of L Writing Center really interesting, is that I did work with students who were in English classes or writing intensive classes, but not always. And I don't know if the data pans out that way, that, you know, mm-hmm. the client's data on the clients suggests more than just say like 100 level English classes or so, but I don't seem to remember working as much with clients in those classes.
So from the clients that you did get, what do you feel like was the most rewarding and then the most challenging? Obviously, you're indicating, you know, that genre of information, but like topics, whatever that you don't or aren't comfortable or familiar with. But what was like the rewarding part? Interactions with the students, etc.
Yeah, I think the rewarding part for me was how it's just so common to work with undergraduate students and like at that writing center at U of L, graduate students also who struggle with recognizing how good they are at writing, like that they're effective at what they do, but they've internalized some other narrative. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I remember working with students who like it would be their first time coming to the writing center or one of the first times. And so they may not have had the experience of like an interested reader, right? And even just having an interested reader can blow people's minds in terms of like what they, how they perceive themselves mm-hmm. as writers. Because some people just assume they're only bad at it, you know, mm-hmm. and that's just not the case. So it was really rewarding for me to watch students recognize, you know, and it wasn't just building confidence or trying to convince people that they're good writers if they actually struggled a lot to be effective rhetorically or something. Like it's those more like I remember students having a lot to contribute in what they were doing and making arguments, reaching certain audiences. And I think those really important principles with writing that we teach in writing centers and in writing classrooms, it can be really undervalued, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're not really taught to look for those or evaluate our own work. And writing centers are spaces where I think people can have their strengths affirmed.
So thinking about how you approach situations with writers or sessions in general, do you feel like you had strategies on how to go about certain, you know, consultations that you've had, or specifically different, like we've said, genres or anything? Were there certain approaches or strategies that you had when you started the session?
Yeah, some. One of the strategies, I think it was, it's comes from a really important principle about like allowing students or clients, any writer, to retain control and ownership over their own work. So this, we see this a lot in like writing center literature, like this suggestion to, you know, I'm right-handed, I would sit on the right of a client, like the right mm-hmm. side, so that my hand is the furthest away from their paper, like the printed document, so that there's no assumption that I'm going to be like writing on their work. So I'd always sit on the right side, which would sometimes be awkward because like people might put their coat there or something yeah. on the chair to their right or something. And but that's like an important thing, is even settling in. And I really value the idea of being welcoming and hospitable, you know, like espousing a kind of hospitality. And so I'm also really interested in like unconditional positive regard as it intersects with Writing Center studies, and strategies would come from those, like the way that I greet someone, if I'm being perceptive to the mood they seem to be in, mm-hmm. right, which can affect how the consultation would go, or could affect, you know, what they end up saying about their work or how they're currently evaluating it in its current draft. And those are just a few, yeah, that come to mind.
No, that's great. We have our assistant director right now, Edward English. He's actually writing his dissertation on hospitality in the Writing Center. So that's great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So be on the lookout for that. Mm-hmm. So what do you think you get, like, let me start over. What do you feel like you've gained from working at the Writing Center? And does that at all affect the way that you teach or work in the Writing Center today?
Yes, definitely. All of those things. Like, so my time at U of L, it was really rewarding in a lot of ways. And it was, so the institution where I work now is an open admissions institution, very small campus that used to be a military barracks wow. in Maine. And we work with primarily adult students who are returning after being laid off at work or trying to build up more credentials and things. And it's not a research university or very big at all. And so at U of L, like, I kind of ached to be at an institution, like I'd planned to work at this kind of institution for a long time. And U of L is very different, right? Being in the Writing Center was like Bronwyn, I remember at the time, was doing research on enclaves, like the Writing Center as an enclave within an institutional structure. And I really saw the Writing Center as that for me personally, but also professionally, because what we did in the Writing Center is, it goes counter to so much of what is like expected usually. And so I remember, like, one thing I've been thinking about lately, that it was kind of like a nugget in my mind, like, at the time that I was working in the Writing Center at U of L, but that the more we align our practices with research in Writing Center studies, often, like, the further away we move from what is considered, like, good writing help mm-hmm. by people outside writing studies or Writing Center studies. But we know, based on research, that, like, we have a particular notion of what we mean by help. And that's something that I've carried with me into this job and in the classroom also. So my time working in the Writing Center reiterated to me how much I want so much to separate the act of grading from learning. Mm-hmm. And to design assessments that prioritize learning instead of sorting and evaluating. And so I try to, I do labor-based grading now, and it seems to me now like a kind of extension from what I was trying to do in the classroom when I worked at the Writing Center at U of L, but I just didn't have the approach yet, you know, but I wanted that so much more of a connection, and for my classrooms to be like Writing Centers, like what happens in Writing Centers.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. We don't do grades, so I completely I appreciate the idea of feedback over grades as well. I think that's so beneficial just to anyone. A lot of times when, you know, you work with a writer, you have those moments where, like you've said, they have no confidence at all in their writing skill, and just that little bit of feedback or even just anything positive, honestly, and it would spark a whole, you know, like chain reaction of enthusiasm and understanding. And then I had a lot of people, that was the main thing that I did last semester, at least, is give a lot of positive feedback, and I had them come back, and I really believe it was that. I don't think it was me. I think it was the idea that they had someone who appreciated and respected their work. Do you feel like when you're able to do this, or are there types of issues like that students had that you were able to respond to in a certain way? And did this, like, the types of writing help you in the place that you are, kind of going off already on what you've said?
Could you say that again?
Yes, I can.
I got caught on one part.
No,
and then
you're
like,
okay. Yeah. So obviously you've told me, you know, your strategies and in types of ways of handling it. Were there specific types of writing that came to you from the writers that had you approaching it in a certain way as opposed to multiple different ways to approach certain things on the type of writing that you were getting?
Yeah. So I remember working often with students who are non-native speakers of English. And there's the common assumption in writing center studies that we don't edit, right? We are not editors or proofreaders, and we teach editing and proofreading as in the larger context of writing processes and practices. But often, you know, the biggest contribution I could make for someone, like a student in a STEM field, chemistry or something, like, and they have their dissertation, and I don't know how to pronounce or even recognize like a lot of the discourse in their field, but I know how sentences are constructed, and often for these multilingual writers and speakers, like that sentence level concern, it was a higher order concern for them. And they may have even been advised to visit the Writing Center for help on that. And so, like, normally, like, I have a thing where, you know, a student says, I need help with grammar. But it's a first draft, and I notice that maybe we need to attend to some other priorities around organization and arrangement of their ideas and things. And so I'll say we should, I'll try to convince them, let's talk about some of these things too. And then, hey, we'll touch on grammar, but grammar should come last or something, you know? And yeah. This, like, when I would work with students, like, advanced degree programs, dissertations, and chapters have been approved by their advisors and things like that, you know, my approach had to change, like, for that population of students. That's, yeah, one example.
Do you feel like it was easy for you to kind of shift the conversation? You know, they come in with their concerns and you're like, hey, this is though concerning, you know, those higher order issues are where we need to focus. Did you have a strategy on how you kind of went about that? Is that where hospitality kind of works in?
Yeah. I'm trying to recall those instances. Oh, and it's been so long since I've done a live consultation because of COVID. But you're right that I think it is part of hospitality. So it's really challenging if a student says they want help on like something sentence level and dealing with grammatical correctness.
Mm-hmm.
Because what if they know they're going to be penalized heavily if there are, you know, more than three mistakes on a page or, you know, whatever kind of like requirements we might see on some assignments. And so it's a big concern for them. I guess like in my, I can't recall like what I might actually do in those instances, except to try to gently mention
mm-hmm.
some other concerns. And I wouldn't even call them concerns. A lot of times, like my approach is to say, I noticed that, you know, something like that. I notice a lot of things in consultations. I know I realize I use that quite a bit as I'm just an observer and a reader. And but I want to attend to those higher order concerns first, because my belief or my philosophy about writing centers is that we are there for writers specifically, right? And we're not there to assist professors who are teaching students who send that, like, and send them to the writing center. It's we are there for writers, and I wouldn't be helping this writer if I focused only on grammar, even though it would may help their grade or something. And that's an ethical conflict, though, because grades are associated with opportunities, and it's a big conflict.
I completely agree with you. When kind of going back on to a previous question about how you guys trained those graduate students in their first year of their program, were there maybe strategies or advice that you would give them, or methods for them to kind of, you know, help them better go about types of situations where you're dealing with a difficult writer or a writer who's only coming because it's a requirement? Were there types of things you would say that would kind of help those graduate students or consultants?
Sure. I know one thing that came up in many conversations with the cohort I got to work with, or the two cohorts I got to work with, but I remember particularly my first year, these grad students, we talked a lot about disposition. Like, I remember this coming up quite a bit, like how we relate, right, to our clients and to writers. And I think depending, I know some other like scholars have talked about this as sort of like the role you play or the hat you put on or mm-hmm. like the kind of identity you espouse in relation to a client. But I thought of it as disposition, because that's what I was writing about in my dissertation. So that kind of, that was sort of at the front of my mind. And so if we have that kind of like welcoming disposition, then it may be easier to like invite in people to like to do something they weren't expecting, like, or to attend to something in their writing that they hadn't planned to attend to. I can't recall like a lot of specifics about those conversations with the consultants, though.
No, you're okay. I don't want you to go too far back. So I guess another way to go about this is, you mentioned when you were in this position, you had two different cohorts. Was there a major change between the first cohort that you work with to the second one, or was it kind of the same in all aspects of like physicality and technology, anything like that?
I think there was consistency, if I'm remembering right, but I know I'm trying to recall if it was the first or second year as an assistant director, but Bronwyn had the opportunity to work in, to go to England for a semester. I'm trying to remember that year, but so we, that year or that semester when he was gone, we, that was definitely different, right? And so we were, I remember being more involved with the other assistant director, and I also got to attend the class, I remember, like, because I didn't get to attend it the previous fall. And I think that may have been the last year, too, that we were in the space on the third or fourth floor. I can't recall now, of the library.
Yeah.
That may have been the last year that we were there. But I think there was still, like, consistency. I'm trying to remember something. Like, the first cohort is like, ultra memorable for some reason, like, because they were so eager about helping, like, being able to help. And I'm still good friends with, like, at least a few of them on Facebook, and, like, still in contact with them, because as they moved into teaching, our relationship, like, we maintained a kind of relationship as colleagues. And yeah, I may have kind of gone off that off topic a little.
No, that's great. So since Bronwyn had that opportunity to go to England, a lot of more responsibilities shifted onto you guys in a way, right?
Like, sort of, but I think in actuality, I think we were ready to do that.
Yeah.
But Adam was the associate director. I'm trying to remember, but like, so he was, his position was to assist Bronwyn with, like, a lot of the administrative, right? And so he took on, like, the directing role in his absence. And Adam is the kind of person, like, I don't know, we it's like he had it covered. He didn't want to
burden
bother us. Yeah. At the same time, like, we were there and ready, like, to help, you know.
Yeah. Did you feel like, as your position as an assistant director, did you feel like, as Adam had that associate director position and he dealt with more of the director roles, the administrative roles, did you feel like you were more mentors for the graduate students in a way than maybe even Adam was? Or how do you think that kind of transitioned or played out?
Yeah. So as far as the, some of the duties as a director, like, Adam had those covered. And I'm grateful for that. I don't want to attend to things like budgets, but that's something I do now. But it's pretty simplified where I am, because it's very small. But so I didn't do that at the time. But you're right that there was our role as assistant directors involved, like, mostly mentoring for the consultants, but we were also I think it was about, like, 10 hours a week. Like, our jobs were split between the, like, being present as an assistant director and offering support, and then being on the schedule, right, at certain times, which to me is a really nice mix, right, for this work.
Okay. I only have a couple more questions, and I will leave you alone, I promise. If we can go into more of the technical aspects of it, we kind of briefly touched on it in the beginning, but what type of, I know you guys had face-to-face interactions, but what type of technology was available or used in the center during that time, and what was it and how was it used? Was it for writing, administration? Were you guys just pen and paper? How did that go?
Yeah, so as you mentioned that, I recall some other things that had slipped my mind earlier, like we did use, we had desktop computers present, I remember, like in the space, the previous space. And often, like, clients would prefer to work at those stations, and we would sit with them and work with them on the computers. But we also had, like, so that was in terms of, like, the aspect of working with clients, but so often I remember printed documents like that we would work with when clients would come to their appointments. Like, I remember a lot of printed documents, and I can't recall if that was something we encouraged or not. And sometimes people would just prop up their computer working there. But this reminded me that the assistant directors also maintained the social media, right, for the writing center. When you mentioned technology, I could recall our blog, right, where we would get consultants to develop posts related to their work as consultants, and I would maintain that. And does that answer your question about technology? Yes, or does. Okay.
Yeah. So kind of even expanding or going off of that, how did students sign up for appointments, and did they walk in? Because right now our platform is, they, especially with COVID, they just sign up online, they create a whole account profile, and then everything's done online. But prior to this, they still signed up online, even if they came in physically, but we did have walk-ins, but they always had to create a profile on our WC online. Is that something that you guys did?
Yeah, so I can't recall what software we used at the time. I remember we had a schedule online. And it's not coming to mind whether clients had the ability to put their name in open slots or whether they had to call or email us. And maybe this is because, like, Robin handled so much of that I can't remember.
Yeah,
exactly. But I remember we had a schedule, and appointments started at the top of the hour. And I just can't recall the software we used.
No, you're good. So did you guys, as having that assistant director position, as well as the other individual, did you guys have certain responsibilities? Like you said, you did the media. Did you also do like workshops or create handouts or class presentations or anything in that realm?
Yes. Thanks for reminding me of that. Yes, I do remember being involved with the university community quite a bit, and doing classroom presentations, either promoting and advertising the Writing Center or giving a workshop or presentation related to some aspect requested by the instructor. I remember doing quite a bit of like citation style workshops and presentations for different classes across disciplines. That was always fun. And at the time that I worked there, we also were revising handouts. So that was kind of like a project we maintained during the time I was working there. We wanted to update them with like the most current research and practices, like related to the different elements we were suggesting. Yeah, I do remember that now.
Do you recall if the handouts were available and accessible online, or were they something that you were just able to grab as, you know, you walked out of the writing center after an appointment, or something you can grab on the outside of the writing center?
Yeah, I remember them being, like, we had some shelving for the handouts, so we had physical handouts, and then say if something came up during a session and we have some handouts related to it, like some aspect of writing that came up, we could go retrieve the handout, give it to the client, and they'd be able to take it with them. I don't recall them being online. They may have moved online, but I don't know if they were actually, yes, they were. They were on our website. Yeah, I remember that now. Yes.
No, that's great. We have, at this point in time, our associate director, who's wonderful. She does like these, she has the handouts online, and she does this beautiful job of doing like a video of like this sixth edition of APA and describing all the elements that are specific to that through like audio and visual, right? So I think that's a nice thing to have. And I really do think it's so beneficial for students to have something written, because even though we're telling them these things, they're not necessarily going to grasp it in the first, you know, round, nor do I ever feel like they quite understand where I'm going, at least. And I'm like, just look at the handout. But yeah, no, that's great that it was still on, it was on the website at that time. Do you feel like you remember anything else important or anything that I haven't asked you that you would like to tell me? I would love to hear anything you have to say.
Yeah, I think, so I mentioned Bronwyn a couple times, like in some of my responses to your questions. And I think it, in my memory, Bronwyn was very present, like as a director. In our old location, we come in and his door was like on the right. Most of the time it was open and he was in there happy to see people, you know. And I think that's like really great for writing centers to have the presence, like of like his function though was really complex. Like he was advising PhD students, directing the center, and mentoring graduate student assistant directors and mentoring master student consultants. And there was a lot there. But he was always a friendly presence, and I'm really biased because he was my dissertation director and a friend, like still. So yeah, I just wanted to make sure that's included too, because
yeah,
his presence is a big part of my memory of the writing center there.
So ending on Bronwyn, do you feel like Bronwyn as a director of the writing center, do you feel like what you've kind of slowly, you know, spoke about, how big of an influence did he play in your position as a direct associate director or director? I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's an assistant. Yeah, it was assistant
director. Mm-hmm. And how, as your position today at the University of Maine?
Right. Yes. Yeah, so is a big influence. I got to see Bronwyn in a lot of different situations, and it reflected kind of like how multidimensional faculty roles are, mm-hmm. right? And now I'm not just a writing center director, I'm a faculty member, and I've taken a lot of my experience from U of L like into this position. But I think what has like really stayed with me as far as like his influence is that he was very uncompromising about the attitude like we espouse, like towards students and writing, and their writing in particular. That was like, it's not up for negotiation. Like the kinds of discourses we use, and we see it. You know, I can understand why, and it's a position like I hold as a teacher today and a writing center director, because the impulse for people in education to complain about students and their work is like pretty irresistible. And this was what my dissertation was about, actually. And so yes, there was I admired how uncompromising he was about that. And it kind of emboldened me to be a little more vocal, like, and to be vocal now. I feel like very justified when I stand up for students, like when I need to in my faculty position now, and having a model like that early on, like is really important for growing professionals, that's for sure.
Well, I will let him know that. Good, he will read my transcript right now. But thank you so much, Jessica. You have given me such good information, and I appreciate you taking time out of your day. I know you're busy in your position, and congratulations again on everything that you've achieved. I think it's just so amazing to see the way that you guys have evolved and literally taken on positions that, you know, you were next to in a lower tier. And I think that's just so amazing. But I 100% respect everything you do, and I appreciate you taking time out of your day for me.
Oh, thanks. Can I ask about you though? Like, what? Yes. Where are you? Your position in the Writing Center and all that.
Yeah. I'm gonna stop recording.
Sure.
So, I.